that we read, or part of that passage we read from Daniel, you're going to find on the green bulletin that you have if you turn to the inner fold there. And once you've found Job 38, you can put it aside. It's going to be a little while before we get there, but have it open for that time that we get to that portion of Scripture. We've been doing a series called Soaring, and this is the last of that series today. The title of the message is Trusting the God of Wisdom and Power. Can we trust Him to be wise and to do His will in our lives? Well, that's what we look at together. Let's pray. Lord, I know that You are altogether perfect. I know that You are totally wise and that You are omnipotent, having all power. And yet, Lord, the circumstances of life sometimes seem to belie those truths. Oh, Lord, I pray that no matter what happens in our individual lives, we would trust You as the God of wisdom and power. We pray it for Your glory, and so that we might walk with You in the love, joy, and peace of Your Holy Spirit. We pray it. Amen. Progeria is a very rare and unusual medical problem, and it results in premature aging. Progeria. A baby born with progeria doesn't grow and in fact starts developing some of the symptoms of aging. Such children are bald and have characteristic pinched facial appearance because their faces aren't growing. They develop hardening of the arteries and die in their early teens of, yes, old age. In 1963, Aaron was born to Rabbi Harold Kushner. Aaron had progeria. He died on time 14 years later in 1977. In 1981, Rabbi Kushner wrote a book called When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Obviously, he thought he was good. In that book, he said, God is either good, but not powerful enough to prevent the problems that we see around about us, problems like progeria, or God is powerful, but he doesn't really care. Rabbi Kushner believed God to be good, so he came to the conclusion that God must be limited in power. The God that Rabbi Kushner described in his book is not the God of the Bible. He's not the God that I know either. 10 times the Bible emphasizes God is both wise and powerful, wisdom just being one aspect of his goodness. The first 3 references are in, well, the first is in Job. God is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Job 12:13. With him are wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. Psalm 147 and verse 5. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. And so on. 10 times the Bible emphasizes God is both wise and powerful. The God of Rabbi Kushner is not the God of the Bible. We need to know the God of the Bible, for He is the true and living God. The rabbi's God cannot be trusted, because He has no power to keep the promises that He makes. The God of the Bible can be trusted, however, and the God of the Bible is no imaginary God. God has revealed Himself in the pages of the Scripture. The rabbi has an idol, a pathetic idol, and we need to know the truth about God from these pages today. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, who? Whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." Our God can be trusted. Our God is worthy of our meditation. And our God is worthy of our worship. That's what worship means. And if our mind is stayed on the truth of God, then that verse says we can be at peace. You'll keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed, fixed on you, because he trusts in you. That's what we need today. We need to leave here being sure that the God of wisdom and power is enough for me. Previously, we've seen that you can trust the God of all grace. You can trust the God of love. You can trust the God of mercy and faithfulness. And today we learn that you can trust the God of wisdom and power. Today we're going to make two statements about our trusting God that I trust will give us peace. The first statement about God to give us peace, or that should give us peace, is I can trust God because He has the wisdom always to make the best choice. I can trust God because He has the wisdom always to make the best choice. God is wise, thus He will always make the best choice. Daniel was a man who knew well God's wisdom. And we read on our sheets Daniel chapter 2 and verse 20. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank You and praise You, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and now made known to me what we asked of You. For You have made known to us the king's demand." In those beautiful verses of praise, Daniel gives us five facts in regard to wisdom. Fact number one, God's wisdom is associated with God's power. Now, we've already stated that, but have a look at verse 20. It says, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His." And have a look at verse 23. "I thank You and praise You, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have made known to me what we asked of You. For You have made known to us the king's demand." In wisdom, God chooses for the best. In power, God brings that wisdom to pass. God's wisdom and power must be associated, contrary to the faulty conclusions of Rabbi Kushner. Fact number two, God's wisdom determines the course of the ages. God's wisdom determines the course of the ages. In verse 21 it says, "And He changes the times and seasons." I can see God's wisdom in bringing the law to the Jewish people and how that was a foundation for what is right and righteousness, even though it was a temporary thing. God brought it in, God brought it out. When the Lord Jesus came. I can see God's wisdom in building His church, even though the church will be a temporary thing. This age is coming to an end. And so we read in verse 21, "And He changes the times and seasons." God is in control of the movement of history. It is His story. Fact number three, God's wisdom determines the rulers of men. God's wisdom determines the rulers of men. In the second part of verse 21 it says, "He removes kings and raises up kings." Every time there is a new political power, God is working out His wise purposes. Even through things like communism, God is working out His wise purposes. Fact number four, God is the source of all wisdom. He's the source of all wisdom. If you see a truly wise man, that wise man has been given his wisdom from God. All true wisdom emanates from God like light emanating out from a lighthouse. Thus verse 21 says, at the end of verse 21, "He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things." And at the end of verse 22 we read, "And light dwells with Him." God's wisdom flows from Him to men that are willing, like Daniel, to receive His wisdom. Fact number five, God's wisdom understands what man cannot. His wisdom understands what man cannot. Halfway through verse 22 we read this, "He knows what is in the darkness." And so His wisdom understands what we cannot. What is dark to us has always been known by Him. God doesn't have a new thought, as it were, because He has known these things from eternity past. Of course, if all wisdom flows from Him, His wisdom is going to be greater than our wisdom. Whilst obvious perhaps, it is a point that is hammered over and over again by the Scriptures. So much so is God's wisdom greater than our wisdom that in three places in the New Testament, God alone is said to be wise. Romans 16 and verse 27. To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Jude 1:25. To God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Further, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 25 emphasizes this. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And again we see wisdom and power coupled together. Even the least of God's wisdom is greater than the greatest wisdom of men. Even the least of God's power is greater than the greatest of men's power. And so we are led to the greatest praise of all God's wisdom in all of Scripture. At least that's my opinion. Romans 11 and verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor, or who has first given to Him and it shall be repaid to Him? For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Praise God. What a wonderful piece of Scripture. Everything God does is wise. His wisdom is evident in everything. Psalm 104 and verse 24 says, O Lord, how manifold or how many faceted are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. So let's just look at a few areas where God's wisdom is evident. His wisdom was evident in creation. Proverbs 3 and verse 19, The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. His wisdom is evident in the salvation of His people. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood. This is talking about salvation. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound to us. How? In all wisdom and prudence. He saves us in wisdom. His wisdom was present always, even before His works were evident. Proverbs 8 and verse 22, speaking of wisdom, says, The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way. God possessed wisdom always before His works of old. And His wisdom is even evident in the discipline of His own people. That too is wise. Isaiah chapter 31 and verse 2 says, Yet He also is wise and will bring disaster and will not call back His words, but will arise against the house of evildoers. In wisdom, God punishes His people. God can make the best choices because He knows all things and has always known all things. He can factor every relevant detail into His choice. Psalm 139 and verse 1 says in regard to God's knowledge, O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off, of course, because He knew it before the foundation of the earth. Such knowledge and wisdom is so far beyond us, we can only wonder. And indeed, Psalm 139 and verse 6 says, Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Oh, I hope you feel a wonder at the wisdom of God. For not only do the angels wonder about the wisdom of God, they worship at the wisdom of God. Just listen to the worship of heaven as God in wisdom winds up this old world. Revelation 15 and verse 3. Great and marvelous are Your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are Your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear You, O Lord, and glorify Your name? For You alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before You. For Your judgments have been manifested, And chapter 19, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. That's the world system. And he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. So as the angels worship God for his wisdom and for his power, the men on earth blaspheme God and wonder why these things are happening to them. The angels know God to be wise. We would do well to trust him to be wise. Indeed, we cannot yet understand how wise he is, for how can finite wisdom comprehend infinite wisdom? We can only worship with Paul. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. The first thing that God said, the very first thing that is recorded is, let there be light. We still don't understand it. There's mysteries. We gasp at the extent and wonders of the universe, a universe of lights. So many lights there that Tozer said, all astronomers can do is count God's sheep. If the universe is so awesome and so beautiful, made in all wisdom, and yet dying under birth pangs as we are, how awesome is the living God who flung it into being? Consider well, and then trust the wisdom of the God who made it all. I've got a little video to show you. I'm just going to make some brief comments as we watch, but if we can have the lights out, please, Bob. Since 1990, the Hubble Space Telescope has been able to give us pictures of God's universe, a universe that man has been unable to see before. More than ever before, we can see God's creative hand in the cosmos, astonishing images of such beauty the most brilliant of artists never conceived it. Planets have been captured, revealing weather, dust storms, auroras, and moons. And the amazing cosmic event has been witnessed where a comet plunged into giant Jupiter. Beyond the solar system, we see a myriad of beautiful, wonderful galaxies. Spiral, barred, irregular, looking deep into outer space, we see beautiful starlight, awesome glowing gas, and dark bands of interstellar dust. The beauty is dazzling. Like jewels in a jewel box, God has created all in wisdom for his glory. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. When the Hubble was pointed into empty space, deep space, all were stunned at the millions of galaxies that were there. As far as our instruments can see, God's handiwork is there always. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? These are galaxies containing millions, billions of stars each, more than all the grains of sand on planet Earth. God's handiwork as far as we can see. Looking deep into the Eagle Nebulae, we see striking, amazing beauty, better than any picture postcard sunset. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? O Lord, in wisdom you made them all. The magnificent Whirlpool Galaxy. The telescope is man's invention, but it is humbled by the creation of God, the creation that it has revealed. We ought to be so awed by God's wisdom, we dare not ask why again. When we ask why, it's because we think that God's wisdom somehow got it wrong. We are demanding an explanation from a God who is all wise. When Job answered why to his tragedy, I want you to notice the way God answered Job. Job chapter 38 and verse 4. God says to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding." Verse 12. "Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place?" Verse 16. "Have you entered the springs of the sea or you walked in search of the depths?" Verse 24. "By what way is light diffused, or the east wind scattered over the earth?" Verse 31. "Can you bind the cluster of Pleiades or loose the belt of Orion? Can you hold the stars in your hand, Job?" Verse 36. "Who has put wisdom in the mind? Who has given understanding to the heart?" Chapter 39, verse 1. "Do you know the time when the wild mountain goats bear young? Or can you mark when the deer gives birth?" Verse 26. "Does the hawk fly by your wisdom and spread its wings toward the south? Does the eagle mount up at your command and make its nest on high?" Chapter 40, verse 2. "Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him?" Are we going to tell God he is wrong? "He who rebukes God, let him answer it." And Job answers in verse 4, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further." And then in verse 8, God asks again, Would you indeed annul my judgment? Count it as nothing? Would you condemn me that you may be justified?" And then over to chapter 42. Job admits to the Lord, "I know you can do everything." And that in verse 2, "I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you." And verse 6, "Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Can't we leave the wisdom to God and trust Him even if we don't understand the circumstances that are round about us? I can trust God because He has the wisdom to always make the best choice. He is wise always. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3 says, "In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Amen. Leave the choices to Him. He chooses best. The second statement about God to give me peace is, I can trust God because He always has the power to bring His word to pass. He always has the power to bring His word to pass. God's power relates to His ability. All the statements about God's ability are statements about His power. To open our eyes to His power, just like I can't get the whole of the scripture in regard to His power, but let's just do a survey of the New Testament in regard to God's ability. First, God is able to create. Matthew 3 and verse 9. "For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones." Just as Jesus can make water into wine, God can make stones into people. In fact, that's how Adam was made in the first place. He was made of the dust of the ground. Second, God is able to save and to punish. James chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy." Regarding everlasting punishment, Matthew 10 and verse 28 says, "Fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Someone has said, to test your power, just trying to get the cat to come in for the night. and if there is a criminal, it may take a law enforcement team to gather that person in. Such is the power of men. But God has power at His word to cast a sinner into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Therefore, fear Him. Third, God is able to keep those He saves. God is able to keep. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Great promise. I know whom I have believed and persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I believe it ends. That is, Paul is saying that God is able to keep me. Romans 16 and verse 25, now to Him who is able to establish you according to my gospel. Establish refers to being made strong or firm, and it refers to the faith. Establish us in the faith and therefore to keep. God keeps so well, no one is able to snatch us out of God's hand. In fact, that's what the Gospel of John and verse 29 says, chapter 10, verse 29. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Fourth, God is able to change us to be like Christ. Yes, even us. Philippians 3:21 says, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body according to the working by which He is able to even subdue all things to Himself. Just as Jesus has the power so that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father, that same power will be used to perfect us. Fifth, thus we can be sure that God is able to help us to live the Christian life. God is able to help us to live the Christian life. Or to say that another way, God is able to give us victory in the Christian life. Hebrews 2 and verse 18. For in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted and obviously have victory over that temptation. And Jude 24. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. So there is victory, unto that final perfection made faultless by His power. Sixth, in fact, God is able to give us grace for every difficulty and trial we face. He can give us grace. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that always, having all sufficiency in all things, you may have an abundance for every good work. I've got to say, that's become my favourite verse this year. I guess I'd read it before, but somehow it jumped out at me this year and it's become a special treasure ever since. Just savour that. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. There's no situation left out of that statement. Seventh, in fact, God is able to do anything He chooses. Ephesians 3 and verse 20 summarizes saying, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Just because of God's power, God is in control always. Consider a couple of men who were convinced of God's power, and because they were convinced of God's power and working in their lives, they went through life with a poise and a peace. First is Abraham. You remember that in one of the most extraordinary accounts in all of Scripture, how God told Abraham to take his only son by Sarah to the site that was later to become the site of the temple, and there to sacrifice Isaac as a burnt offering. Now I confess to you that if that was me, I wouldn't even believe that it was God talking. What sacrifice? This can't be you, can it, Lord? And I certainly therefore wouldn't obey. But Abraham knew his God, and we read of no hesitation or argument. In fact, Abraham, the scripture says, got up early the next morning and went. How could Abraham do that? Well, it was his trust in God. When Isaac himself questioned the expedition, Abraham explained his trust in Genesis 22 and verse 8. My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. But when they got to the site, no such lamb was to be seen. And Abraham did the unthinkable. He lifted his knife to execute his own son. I say unthinkable, it's unthinkable to me, but it was not unthinkable to Abraham. He was still trusting God, even though there was no lamb to be seen. The book of Hebrews explains in Hebrews 11:17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Abraham concluded that God was able to supply a lamb. And if God did not supply the lamb, that God was able to raise his son from the dead. And that did happen figuratively. But resurrection, full of resurrection, would not happen to Isaac. For that would be the unique feature of Jesus' own sacrifice in the same place. But Abraham believed in God's power. And that gave him peace and poise even to do the unthinkable. Belief in the power of God is radically life-transforming. To know God is able takes the anxiety out of life and the despair and the guilt. Let's take another example. Abraham was about 130 years old when he came to this test, and we might say, well, he ought to be walking with God by that time. But let's take a teenager this time. A teenager, in fact, from a dysfunctional family, a polygamist family with petty jealousies and favorites and thus poor relationships. I am talking of the young man Joseph. He could have been bitter. He was sold as a slave by his brothers when all he was doing was obeying his father and going out to see how they were doing. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife when he was responding to her aggressive advances with integrity. He was forgotten by the butler of Pharaoh, even though Joseph had helped that same man in prison. He kept doing right, and it kept turning out wrong. Joseph was just 17 years old when these tests began in his life. He could have been angry with God for allowing all these tragedies in life when I'm doing right. But Joseph was learning to trust God. Joseph apparently knew God had the power to work out his purposes. Remember his dream? He remembered that one day his brothers and his parents would bow down to him. And he knew God's word to be true. He hung on to that promise. And it took him all the way through. Apparently knew God had the power to work out his purposes, even when the circumstances appeared to contradict God's promises. How could this be? How can I be a ruler when I'm become a slave? God's promises are great. Listen to these statements of faith in Genesis chapter 45 and verse 5. Joseph says, "But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." In Genesis 45 and verse 8, "So now it was not you who sent me here, but God." In Genesis 50 and verse 20, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." Rabbi Kushner had it wrong, "For even the apparently bad is not bad at all, but meant for good, and it will be for the ultimate good of those who love God." Such is God's power and wisdom, that he can even use those worst circumstances in life to his glory. God has a plan, a good plan for our lives. The plan was made in the utmost wisdom, and the plan will be delivered with ultimate power. Trust him. Isaiah 40 and verse 31 says, "But those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Who will experience this soaring? Those who trust their God. Let's pray. Father, we want to confess to you this morning our unbelief. We're sorry that we doubt you. We doubt your purposes, your wisdom, your power, your goodness in our lives. Lord, you can be none other than yourself. We affirm to our own hearts today that you are good, that you are wise, that you are all-powerful, that you have good plans for us, and you will bring your plans to pass if we but trust you. O Lord, we pray that you would be our trust, that our minds would be stayed on you, and that we might know your perfect peace. Thank you for being patient with us, Lord. We want to draw close, and we want your will for our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just as we saw faithfulness and mercy met in the cross, we see that wisdom and power also meet in the cross. Power to lay his life down